All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Peites. You have a lot to do today. Today's daf is Peites. We are picking up Peches on the base 88p. Really a lot to do today. Ubeplukta dahani tanoi. It is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. So remember, again, we left off yesterday in the midst of a riveting machlokas regarding the menorah. Or more specifically, the construction of the menorah. So says the Gemara, Ubeplukta dahani tanoi, the sanyo. Menorah v'neroseha ba'os min hakikar. So the Gemara says that the menorah v'neroseha, so remember again, that means the menorah, which is like the base or the trunk of the menorah, and neroseha. Neroseha means literally the candles or the arms of the menorah. So remember again, there is the menorah base, then there is the branch which extends up from the base, and then there are multiple other branches which extend what we'll call from that trunk. So those are called neroseha. Those are called the extensions. It's lamps. So all of that was made from one block of gold. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Nechemi Omer menorah ha'isa ba'a minaki. I'm sorry, ve'in malkacha u'machtoseh minakikar. Rabbi says, machtoseh are the tongues, machtoseh are the scoops. Those are things that were used to clean out the bulb of the menorah. So those did not have to come from the solid block of gold. Rabbi Nechemi Omer, menorah ha'isa ba'a minakikar, ve'lo neroseh u'malkacha u'machtoseh ba'a minakikar. So what's amazing, Rabbi Nechemiah disagrees. And Rabbi Nechemiah says, the menorah, the base of the menorah came from a solid block of gold, but the tongues, the scoops, and even the branches themselves did not. They did not come from the block of gold. But my comment, please. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokes here, about halacha lamaisa, whether or not the neros, the branches of the menorah, did they come from the kikar or not? Did they come from the miksha? Did they come from the block of gold or not? Clearly, the Tanakhama holding yes, Rabbi Nechemiah holding no. But my kamiflugi, what are they arguing about? Bahai krah. Both are they arguing about the following pasuk. This sanya we learned in a braisa, kikar zahav tahar yasa osa. You have to make the menorah out of one block of pure gold. La'mazul the menorah shabam in a kikar. So it teaches us that the menorah has to come from a solid block of gold. Minayim the rabos nerosel. But say, how do we know that even the branches of the menorah, which come from the base, also have to be from one solid block of gold? Talmud lomar eskola kelim ha'ila. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, even the kelim, the utensils have to come from a block of gold as well. Yocho shani marbe, af malkocha machtoseha. I might have thought that would also mean that the scoops and the tongs also have to come from the block of gold. Hamulomar osa. Therefore, the pasuk says, no, this, only this. This meaning the menorah, not the supporting utensils. Rabbi Nechemiah. The boss says, words, Rabbi Nechemiah. Now we have a problem because Kashu Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Nechemiah. We'll say fundamental machlokes for Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Nechemiah. In other words, Rabbi Nechemiah just said above that halacha lamaisa said the neros, which means the branches of the menorah, do not have to be made from the same kikar, from the same block of gold. Here he's saying they do, to which the Gemara says, not a kasha, trei tanoi ba'alibu de Rabbi Nechemiah. Two different opinions according to Rabbi Nechemiah. Okay, so it's a machlokes in what Rabbi Nechemiah said. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, menorah ba min hakikar. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha said, the menorah comes from a block of gold. But I will say, ultimately, again, the scoops, the tongs, and the branches do not come from the kikar. So we'll say, so what does it mean when we say all of the utensils? Shehayu kelim shel zav. Teaches us that I will say all of the kelim associated with the menorah have to be made of gold. Zav behedjik simbo. We'll say that's explicit that it has to be made with gold. After all, again, the pasuk in Shmos says, "Vaasisas neroseh shiva veheelas neroseh vehera es erapanev malkachal machtoseh zav tar." So lo nitzucha ela lepineros. So we'll say, I'll tell you where it comes up. It comes up by what we call, the Gemara calls the lip or the mouth of the ner, of the bulb. We'll say the idea is the way that the we'll call it the receptacles of the menorah were structured is that they have like a little lip. That little lip is where the wick rested against. The wick didn't stand up like this. The wick was in the oil and kind of was then hung over the side a little bit. So that lip is called the pihaner. So we'll say, I might have thought that does not have to be gold. After all, Hoilu Pineros Ashkuri Mishkar, Hatorah Chasa Amamonash Yisrael, top of Peites, Vele Avid Zahav Koldu. So say, I would have thought that since that area gets blackened anyway, meaning because again, that's where the fire burns, I would have thought that there's no obligation to make it from pure gold, but rather you can make it from any quality gold. Kamash Malar, know that even the Pineros, even the lip of the cup that holds the wick, ultimately, again, has to be made from pure gold. So both say, so this happens to be a fascinating machlokes about how the menorah was structured, specifically focusing on the idea where the neros, the branches of the menorah, did they come from the solid block of gold, or were they fashioned out of separate gold and subsequently attached? So clearly here we see a machlokes in Rabbi Nechemiah and the Rabbanon. The Rambam, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, paskins like the Rabbanon in this brisa, namely that the menorah in its entirety was made from miksha, was made from one block of gold. So the base, the trunk, and the branches all came from one block of gold. That's how the Rambam paskins. He holds that the supporting utensils, like the spoons, the tongs, those were also made from gold, but did not have to be fashioned from the same block of gold. Good. Chatzi lug shemen l'toda. So we'll say, again, remember, going back to the Mishnah said that a half a lug of oil was used for the loaves of the toda. Tanya, Rabbi Akiva, Omer matam, lomer bashemen, bashemen, shnei pamim. Rabbi Akiva says, why does the pasuk have to say bashemen, bashemen twice? Ilu lo ne'emar ela bashemen achos. Because had it just said bashemen once, hayisi omer harehu kichala menachos lelug, I would have thought that the toda is like all other menachos and should only get a lug of oil. Achshav shekasav bashemen bashemen, both say not only, but it should get a lug of oil. Now that it says bashemen bashemen twice, havi ribui acharibui, both say that's called, remember, a ribui, an encompassing phrase, or I should say, not encompassing, what's the word? Inclusive, thank you. Inclusive phrase after another inclusive phrase. And ultimately, and we'll say we have a general exegetical principle that a riboy after a riboy actually comes to exclude. What does it come to exclude? Tells him that the toda, as opposed to other menachos which get a lug, the toda only gets half a lug. Riboy acha, riboy chad riboy. What do you mean riboy acha riboy? But it's all the same pasuk. So it says the Gemara, no. What it means, this is how you have to read it. Ela, ilo lo ne'emar b'shemen kol ikar. Had the pasuk not mentioned shemen at all by the toda, hayisi omer hareyu kichola menachos lelug, I would have thought that it's like all of the menachos, in that it gets a lug of oil. Achsho shenemar b'shemen b'shemen. We'll say, now that it says b'shemen b'shemen, have riboy acha riboy, then it is one riboy after another riboy, even though it's in the same pasuk. Ven riboy acha riboy ela lema'it. And I will say the exegetical principle, that riboy acha riboy comes to exclude. What does the pasuk come to exclude? Mi'ato akos of lechatsi log. Pasuk tells me that a toda only goes ahead and gets half a log. So we'll say, interesting havamina. I would have placed toda in the Mincha family, Menachos get a lug of oil. Bashemen, Bashemen, Riboy Acha Riboy tells me Toda only gets half a lug. Good. So now, Bo says, now the Shaila is going to become, how do I use the half a lug? So Yachu Yehi Chatzi Lug Lazem Mischalik L'Shalosh Minin. Now, Bo says, remember, with a carbon Toda, there are three different types of loaves that are brought. So I would have thought, okay, you've got half a lug, three types of loaves that are brought. What do? You split the half a lug, one third. L'shot l'chalos, u'l'rekikin, u'l'revicha. So let's remember again, chalos are loaves. Rekikin are like wafers, thinner wafer like loaves. And rekiva. Rekiva, we'll say, we saw it before mentioned, we'll see it again later on, discusses on, it's made by scalding the flour. You scald it first, and then you bake it afterwards. So we'll say, so I would have thought that you take that, the half a lug, and divide it equally amongst these three different types of loaves. Says the Gemara, Kishu Omer Bashemen Berechicha, Shberechicha. Also, when the Torah uses the word Bashemen, it's specifically referring to what? To the scalded loaf, we'll call it. She'en Tamud Lomar Riba Shman L'Rechiva. So, okay, so we'll say, so what do I do? How do I divide up the oil? So, watch this. Maybe Chatzi Lug. So, we'll say, here's what we know. I know that a carbon toda is comprised of three different types of loaves. I know that I'm only bringing a half a lug of oil for the carbon toda. Now my only shayla is, how do I divide it up amongst the loaves? I also know that bashemen is mentioned specifically by one of the types of loaves, by what the Gemara calls the revicha. The revicha is the scalded loaves. So the Gemara says, okay, he said, here we go. Mevi chatzi luk shemen vichotseyu. Suppose I bring the half of luk shemen, I split it in half. Chatziyav lechalos erikikin vichatziyav lerevicha. So we'll say what's interesting is as follows. The Gemara understands that since bashemen is mentioned specifically by one of the loaves and not by the other two, so that means that that category of loaves, in this case called the revicha, gets half of the half of the lug. So in other words, so what ends up happening over here is that half of the chatzi lug is given to, is applied to the revicha loaves, and the remaining half of the chatzi lug gets split between the chalos and the rikikin. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Akiva, imatamar bekol yom kula b'shem b'shem eini shomei alecha. So this is an interesting lesson. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Rabbi Akiva, even if you go out and you dash in this Bashem and Bashem and as a riboy acha riboy the whole day, I'm still not going to listen to you. Ella, chatzi lug shemen letoda. Rather, again, the halacha is, we bring a half a lug of shemen. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it seems to be saying to Rabbi Akiva is as follows. I don't like your drasha. I don't like your drasha of Bashemen Bashemen. But yet, I agree with the halacha. The halacha is, chatzi lug shemen letoda, urevius shemen lenazir, and a quarter of a log of a shemen is used for the carbon of the nazir, which we'll discuss. Va'achadar sayom shebein nida lenida. Now we'll say, what is this talking about? So we'll say, achadar sayom shebein nida lenida means that on a d'oraisa level, on a d'oraisa level, we assume that a woman cannot experience a nida flow within the first 11 days after having completed her previous cycle. So what does that mean, halacha l'maaseh? So what if she does bleed within 11 days of the completion of her last cycle? We call that ziva, zivus, and not nida. We call it zava blood and not nida blood, which is just reckoned differently. Again, we'll see this in Maseches Nida. So we'll say these things are halacha l'moshe misinai. These three halachos, obviously there are others, but these three things apparently were often taught together, are halachos l'moshe misinai. So what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying to Rabbi Akiva is, the bottom line is correct. There is a half a lug of oil that is used for a toda. But Rabbi Akiva, whereas you darsh in this bashemen bashemen, which is a riboy achar riboy l'mait, I would have thought toda is like every other mincha that it gets a lug. Therefore, bashemen bashemen is a riboy achar riboy, and riboy achar riboy l'mait tells me that it only gets a chatzi lug. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Akiva, you can dash in from here until tomorrow. I'm still not going to listen to you. Right? But the halacha is that a toda gets half a lug. Why? Because it's a halacha l'moshe misinai. Good. Belug haya modet. So we'll say again, if you remember again, the Mishnah said as follows. The Mishnah said, belug haya modet l'chol ha-menachos. So remember again, we'll say under normal circumstances we just saw before. So a mincha comes from a nisaron of flour. That's the amount of flour. And it had a lug of oil that accompanied it. So that's the relationship. One nisaron of flour for a lug of oil. Now remember, after that, the Mishnah then got into saying the following. But let's say even if you brought a massive mincha, like 60 esronos. So Rabbi says, how many lugin does 60 esronos get? 60. So remember again, the first time the Mishnah said 60, right? And then the Mishnah said that what? The Mishnah said that even in that case, so how would you go ahead and measure out 60 lugim of oil? 60 times. You use a one lug utensil and you may keep measuring it out. One until you get to 60. The second opinion of the Mishnah Bosai, which was the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, said no, one lug of oil per mincha, no matter how big that mincha is. So here we go. So it says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, b'metzora aniksiv isaron balul v'lug. So Bosai, by the metzora who's in ani, right, which is the impoverished metzora, speaking about the type of carbon that he brings. So the Torah tells us that, see, the pasuk over here is ve'indalhu. Let me read you the pasuk. Ve'en yadom asages, if he is poor, and he cannot bring the normal offering at the conclusion of saras. Ve'lakach keves echad asham letnufa lechaper alav, ve'isaron soles echad balul bashemen lemincha. And he will go ahead and bring an isaron, right, one isaron of flour, balul bashemen, mixed together with oil, memincha, vilug shemen, and one lug of oil. So watch this. It says the Gemara. So Isaron Balul Vilug Limeid Ali Isaron She Ta'omug Devrecham. So we'll say first wide line. Pay Tes Medalev. So what do we learn from here? We learn from here that one lug. I'm sorry, but Limeid Ali Isaron. We learn from here that one Isaron of flour requires one lug of oil. So this pasuk teaches us an important relationship. One Isaron is a dry measure. One Isaron of flour comes with a one lug of oil. Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Lazar Omrim. Now, in the Chachamim's model, so that relationship keeps growing. So, in other words, no matter how many Esronos you have, there is always one lug of oil per Isaron. So, you bring a one Isaron Mincha, one lug of oil. You bring a 60 Isaron Mincha, 60 lugin of oil. Rabbi Nechem, Rabbi Lozer Omrim, Afilu Mincha Shal Shishim Esronim. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Nechemia say, they say halacha lamaisa, even if no matter how big the mincha gets, one lug of oil per mincha. Whether that mincha is one isaron, whether that mincha is 60 esronos. Shene emar, la mincha, the lug shemen. Because we'll say the pasuk says, la mincha, whatever the mincha is, lug shemen. Ultimately, again, it goes ahead and it gets. Good. It goes ahead and it gets its one lug of oil. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Nechem, Rabbi Lazar, Hai Isarn Balu Velug Mai Avdile. So we'll see, here's the problem. What do Rabbi Nechem and Rabbi Eliezer do with the Chachamim's Pasuk? Right? The Chachamim used the Pasuk, ultimately, again, of Isaron Balu Velug, to teach me a relationship. That for every Isaron, there is a lug of oil. What do Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Nechemia, who do not agree with that? They say one lug of oil per mincha, no matter how big the mincha. But what do they do with that pasuk? My avdilei, hahu ligufei, the ka'amar rachmana lai sichad isarna. We'll say, that pasuk is coming to teach me a halacha. What's the halacha? In other words, we'll say, it's not coming to teach me a klal, it's coming to teach me a halacha, namely, that if the metzora is poor, he brings a small mincha. What's his small mincha? One Isaron with one lug. It's not coming to teach me our relationship for all other minchos. It's coming to teach me that mincha. V'idach, Luguf Nechachamim will say, Lugufei lo tzarech. I don't need the pasuk only for the impoverished mitzora. Why not? Medigali rachman the gabi mitzora, gabi mitzora. But say, since the pasuk taught me by the other mitzora, now the other mitzora will say is the rich mitzora or the comfortable mitzora. Gimel kabanas the gimel esronos that you bring ultimately again three animal offerings and three esronos. Hacha dechad karban v'chad isaron. So I could extrapolate from that the poor mitzora could bring just one carbon and one isaron. So therefore, again, technically speaking, I don't really need the pasuk because I don't need the pasuk. And come teach me the principle, namely of the relationship between one isaron and one lug shemen. V'idach, the other opinion will say itzrich saga de tchamina hoil v'chas rachmana aleh lasuye bedalos emaloli by mine klal. So I'll say, I might have thought that what? Since the Torah is very cognizant of the financial limitations of the Jew, maybe in this case, if the Metzora is an Ani, maybe Halacha L'maisa, the Torah exempts him from the carbon altogether. The Idach, the other opinion, will say, no, Legamre lo Ashkechon. We'll say, even if we say, HaTorah Chasa Amamona Shei Yisrael, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compassionate on our finances, on our resources, that never lets the person off scot-free, right? Halacha L'maisa, you still have to bring something. V'Rabbanon, Hayla Mincha V'Luk Shemen Mai Avdilei. We'll say, so what do the Rabbanon do with the Pasuk of Rabbi Eliezer Ibn Nechemia? What do they do with the Pasuk of La Mincha V'Luk Shemen? Hahu L'misnadev Mincha Shelo Yifchas Midavar HaTa'un Lug. We'll say, from that Pasuk we learn that Halacha L'maisa, if you pledge a Mincha, you can't pledge a Mincha, with the amount of flour that will require less than a lug. In other words, the minimum amount of flour that you could pledge as part of a karban mincha is the amount of flour which generates a lug of oil obligation. Umaynihu, what's that amount of flour? Isaron. Nisaron of the Idach, Rabbi Elazar ibn Nechemia will say, Tarti Shamas Mino. You can learn out both halachas from this same drasha. So we end off with a fascinating machlokas here. We already mentioned in the Mishnah about what's the relationship of the flour to the oil in a karban mincha. Do we say that it's one lug of oil per Isaron, or do we say one lug of oil per mincha, no matter how many esronos in the mincha. That's the machlokes in the Mishnah. The Rambam Paskin is like the first opinion, namely that halacha lamaisa in a karban mincha, it is one lug of oil per isaron. So you bring one isaron, one lug. You bring a mincha, 50 esronos, 50 lugin of oil. However, Abu Sa'id, according to that opinion, the Rambam also says, we accept the principle in the Mishnah that the only had a utensil the size of a lug. So if you happen to bring a very large karban mincha, 50 esronos, you are measuring out 50 lugin of oil by using that one lug utensil 50 times. Good. Says the Gemara. So remember again, the Mishnah then went on to say that remember if there was a 6 lug utensil for the par offerings, 4 lug utensil for the ayal offerings, 3 lug utensil for the keves offerings. Minar Rabbah said, where do we know this from? This is actually very interesting. Viniskehem chatsi hahin yelapar. So listen to this. So what's the pasuk says, Viniskehem, the Nisachim, right, are a half a hin for the par. Hin, tresa lugi. So what's remember again, a hin is represents 12 lug, habion. Dechsiv, shemen zayis hin, uksiv shemen mishchas kodesh zeh, So let's say, so this is fascinating, Joshua. So watch this. So remember again, I know, it says, v'niskim chatziyahin. So a half a hin, so chatziyahin yalapar. So a half a hin, the Gemara says, Pasuk says, by the par, that it has to be v'niskim or a half a hin. The Gemara says, a hin is 12 lugin. Therefore, again, a half a hin is 6 lugin. That's why the Mishnah says, Shisha Lapar. So this is interesting. Dichsiv, Shemen Zayisin. But remember we said yesterday, the hin measurement in its totality was only used once. It was only used by the Shemen HaMishcha made by Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does it say? Shemen Zayisin. Uksiv, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, Yihyeh Zeh, Lila Dorosechem. This anointing oil shall be for me for all generations. Zeh, Begematria, Treser Havyan. Well, I said, this is so interesting. The word Zeh in Gematria is 12. So I'll say all the Gemara is just pointing out over here is as follows. That Pasek, that word Zeh, in the Pasek, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh Yihyeh Zeh Li L'Doroseichem, that Zeh is an extra word. Why is it there? So the Gemara is positing that it's here just to remind us of a relationship. The numerical value of Zeh is 12, to remind us that ultimately, again, the Hin is 12 Lugin. So once we have the hin is 12 lugin, then when it says ultimately again by the par chatsiyah hin, then ultimately again I know that the par is 6 lugin. And I will say, remember, that same pasuk is chatsiyah hin ya lapar, ushlishis hahin lahayil, urviis hahin lakeves yayin. So we'll say, remember again, all the psukim highlights the exact relationship. Once I know that a hin is 12 lugin, then I know ultimately again how many lugin the par needs, how many lugin the ayol needs, and how many lugin the keves needs. Good. So remember again, the Mishnah then said that for the menorah, it's 3.5 lug for the menorah in its entirety, which is a half a lug of oil per receptacle. So the Gemara says, where do we know that from? Menahani mili, the Tan Rabbanan me'erev ad boker. We'll say the pasuk by the menorah says the menorah has to be lit from evening until the next morning. Teila midasa sheteidolekes v'holachas me'erev ad boker. You have to put enough oil in the menorah, that's what? That it remains lit from morning until evening. So the Gemara says, davarach, another possibility is, me'erev ad boker, Ein lecha avoda shekshera me'erev ad boker elazu bilvad. We'll say the other possibilities was erev ad boker. I mean, there is no other avoda in the Beis HaMikdash that is done me'erev ad boker. We'll remember again, normally avoda is done by day. Avoda is done by day. Avoda is dafka not done by night. The only avoda that's done me'erev ad boker is the lighting of the menorah. V'shiru chachamim necham said, how much oil do you need for it to remain lit from morning until from evening until morning? Chatzilug, mi'arta va'at safra. You need a half a lug of oil to keep the menorah burning from evening until morning. Ikadarim, I will say this is actually very interesting. Now, so what's fascinating about this, if you notice, is by the other shiurim, we've been learning them out from psukim. By the menorah, it just appears that Chazal, or some, not Chazal, really early already, I guess it was Moshe, Aaron, a Kohen, figured out how much oil was needed. right? Meaning again, I know that the menorah has to burn from evening until morning. So how much oil does it take to do that? So if you notice again, there's no pasuk. The only pasuk that's written is that it tells you it has to burn from morning till evening. There's no pasuk that makes a remes to a shear. So the Shmuel who's saying is, put in enough oil in order to go ahead and allow it to burn from morning to evening. Ay, ribono shel olam, how much is that? To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, figure it out. Figure it out. So we'll say, so now here's what's fascinating. So the Gemara says, Ikada amri milamala lamata shiarum. So we'll say, so now there's apparently like a historical machlokes as to how they actually figured this out. So some say the way they figured this out is they started by putting in a lot of oil and then realizing they had left over and then gradually diminished the oil until they got to the right amount. That's milamala lamata. A lot going down to a little. Ikada amri mimata lamala shiarum. Others say, no. What they did is, they actually started with a smaller amount of oil and then apparently went out a couple of times and began to increase it as they went on. So Gemara says, what's the pshat? So mandarai matalamala shi'aru atora, excuse me, shi'aru mimat, let me read that again. Mandarai mimatalamala shi'aru, according to the opinion, they said they started with a small amount of oil and began gradually to increase. That again, in general, mostly we've now, I can't remember the last time that we have seen this, we've seen this concept throughout Shas, but it's been mentioned so many times over the last couple of dapim. So again, we want to be careful with the resources of Klal Yisrael. So mostly here's the problem. Whatever leftover oil you have in the menorah, what do you do with it? What do you do with it? You have to discard it. In other words, it's not usable. If you have leftover oil, you can't use it for the next day's lighting, right? You have to discard it. So therefore, again, in an effort to conserve resources, so they started with a smaller amount of oil, gradually adding on. Uman damar mi lamala lamata, excuse me, mi mala lamata, in the opinion, they said they started with a lot of oil. So then having leftovers, they went ahead and they gradually scaled it back. Ein anius bimakom ashirus. Well, this is actually very beautiful. There is no poverty in a place of majesty, in a place of grandeur, in a place of wealth. If you look at Rashi, the top Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says over here, Ein anius bimakom ashirus, in choshishin b'mashe shofech lachutz. The Beis HaMikdash is a place of wealth, and therefore, again, even if you have leftover oil and you have to throw it out, so be it. In other words, what the Gemara says over, according to that opinion, is the notion of skimping on the oil and potentially running out is a non-possibility. Therefore, we would rather be left with leftovers that we have to go ahead and throw out than not have enough. Good. Mishnah. Ma'ar b'niskei param b'niskeilin. So it's actually a very interesting case. So over here, if you look at Rashi, the top Rashi, Ma'ar v'niskei parim. So you could go ahead and mix. We're talking about the ability to mix nisachim with each other. Now, Rashi says over here, top Rashi, meaning the top version of Rashi in the Mishnah, Ma'ar v'niskei parim, hai mi, so the Gemara says, hai yayin v'shemen kamar. So we're talking about mixing nisachim of wine or of oil. V'chi kamar, Ma'ar v'niskei niske parim, b'yayin niske elim, Va'af agav de lapar isle shlosh shi isaron solas, v'chatsia hin shemen, v'yayin v'shemen, v'la ayo beiz isaron solas, v'shlisha sayin yayin, v'chin shemen, af apikin ma'arvin zebaze, mishum shishneyem b'li lasan shave, v'tarvayu ika shnei lugin li isaron. So we'll say, what the Gemara is saying is as follows. If you're bringing a number of different karbanos, and halacha lemaisa, the ratios are the same between flour, oil and wine, technically speaking, you could prepare the nesachim, you could prepare the libations, right? It's the wine libations. We think we're talking about wine and oil over here. We'll see what he's just talking about wine. You could prepare it together and then divide them up for individual use afterwards. Why? Because since all of their wine-oil ratios are the same, even though they're coming in differing amounts, because they're all the ratios are the same, you could prepare them together. So ma'ar v'niske parim v'niske elim, you could go ahead and mix in the niske parim with the niske elim, niske kivasim v'niske kivasim. And you could go ahead, and Rabbi says, so you can mix all of these different nisachim together, prepare them together. Obviously, you'll have to separate them out for offering purposes, but they could be prepared together. Shal yachid b'shal tzibor. Similarly, again, you could prepare the nisachim of the yachid together with the nisachim of the tzibor. Shamed beis. Shal yom b'shal emesh. You could prepare yesterday's nisachim together with today's zechon. Rabbi says, We made reference to this concept earlier, that halacha lemaisa, if you look at the Rashi in Kisveyad, the bottom section of Rashi, the first Rashi in Amidbeis, Shayom b'shalemesh, in hevi emesh below nesachim, the kamala, maybe adam zivcha unesachav, mikana v'alasayim, this is interesting halacha, which is if you bring a carbon but you forget to bring your libations, interestingly enough, you have a number of days after the offering of your carbon to bring your libations, to bring the nesachim. So we'll say, so halacha lemaisa, so actually Rashi over here says, mikan v'adasari yamim, you actually have 10 days after the offering of your karban to bring your nesachim. Dichsivu min chasavin eskehem balaylo min chasavin eskehem, fine. So the Gemara says, shalom b'shalemesh, so you could go ahead and prepare yesterday's nesachim with today's nesachim. Aval im ma'arvin, niske kvasim b'niske parim ve'ilim. Rabbi say you cannot mix niske kvasim together with niske parim ve'ilim. Rabbi say because apparently, as we'll see in the Gemara, these items are dissimilar. V'im balalon elu b'fnei atzman ve'elu b'fnei atzman. Rabbi say if each of these nisachim were mixed on their own, v'nis arvu, and then were subsequently mixed together, ksherim. So Rabbi say this is an interesting halacha. If these items, so what we have over here essentially are three categories. Category one, of items which can be mixed together. Category two, of items which cannot be mixed together. Category three, of items which if mixed independently and then after they are properly prepared, become mixed in with one another, will be okay. Im ad shelo balo, but if you do not prepare the nesachim on their own before they got mixed in with other nesachim, then pasul. Hakeves. Haba im haomer. So we'll say the keves, which is the sheep offering, which comes with the carbon omer. Afa pishem in chaso kfula. Even though, again, Rabbi say the mincha of the Omer offering is doubled. Rabbi say, what does that mean? It's doubled. It's two isronos instead of one isaron. Lo hayu nisachav kfulim. Nevertheless, its nisachim were not doubled. So, Rabbi say, it's actually quite fast. So, we'll see this in the Gemara. Or, meaning, Tzimras HaKasha. What's the Kasha? Viktiro. So, Rabbi say, so the Pasuk says, just to give you the Pasuk, Viktira koinam izbecho. Lechem isha lashem. Pasuk says it shall be offered up on the mizbeach. What does that mean? Shelo ye'arev chalavim b'chalavim. But I'll say the halacha is that even though what? All sacrificial fats are burned on the mizbeach, you shouldn't mix sacrificial fats together. In other words, each one should be burned independently. You don't mix them together. Shabbos says it's another way of saying what? That when it comes to sacrificial items, which we prefer not to go ahead and mix them together. If you look at the top Rashi, in the top section of Rashi, last wide line in the top section of Rashi, Shlayariv Chalavim, Hachanami Layariv Nisachim. So we'll say, in general, we assume that sacrificial items should not be mixed together. Right? So the idea is that they're offered up independently and separately. So just like you shouldn't mix together the fats, so too you shouldn't mix together the wine libations, to which the Yemar Tzaram Rabbi Yochanan, in this Arvu Kamar, Rabbi Yochanan says, you're right, the Mishnah is not telling me that I should go ahead and mix together Nisachim. Rather, what is the Mishnah talking about, Rabosai? What is it talking about? If it occurred. What is the halacha if these items end up getting mixed together? Look at Rashi again. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Lo teima ma'arvin lechatchila ela im this Arvu Kamar. Vadik tani vikti. Fine. So Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, ve'ein ma'arvin niske kvasim. So say, what do we do with the following phrase in the Mishnah? The Mishnah said that we do not mix together niske kvasim with niske parim and elim. Va'afilu nisarvu nami. Lo, Rabbi say, and even if they get mixed together, ultimately, again, it wouldn't be good as well. So the Gemara said, v'hamid diktani seifa, but if you look at the end of the Mishnah, balalon elu b'fnei atzma ve'elu b'fnei atzman. If you mixed first, if you prepared each nesach independently, in other words, you mixed each one independently, v'nis arvu, then they get mixed together, ksherim, that it will be kosher. Michlal deresh lechatchila kamar. But we'll say that sounds like the beginning of the Mishnah, sounds like what? That you are proactively mixing other nesachim together. Rabbi says this is what it means to say, hachi kamar, ma'arvin yenon. We'll say, this is actually very interesting. So Abai says, what it means to say is as follows. Then halacha lemaisa, you can go ahead and mix the wine libations of various karbanos together. Im nisarif sultan ushmanan. If their soles, if their flour and oil parts of their mincha component have been mixed together. So Gemara says, yeah, so what that sounds like saying is as follows. If the primary part of the mincha already got mixed together, i.e. The oil and the flour of two different menachos got mixed together, then you can mix their wines together as well. If the oil and the flour parts of the mincha did not get mixed together, ultimately, again, you cannot mix the wine together. The yayin lechatchila. Now, Rabbi, so you have to understand something. You'll say to yourself, why would they want to mix things together? Just from a sheer efficiency perspective, if you could prepare a bunch of menachos together and separate them out subsequently, obviously it makes it much easier. To which the Yayin lechatchila, you're telling me then that it means that wine cannot, the wine of one nesachim cannot be mixed with other nesachim. Lechatchila, you can't. Vatanya, when is this so? When is this what so? When is it so that you can't proactively mix menachos together? Bisolos v'shemen. That's talking about the flour and the oil. About yayin ma'arvin. I will say when it comes to wine, even lechatchila, you can mix it together for preparation purposes. Ela amar Abaye, this is what it means to say. Achi kamar. Here we go. Hecha dehuktar saltan ushmanon. Ma'arvi yayin lechatchila. I will say if you have various menachos, and the flour and the oil part of the mincha has already been offered up on the mizbeach, but the wine libational part has not. So what's the halacha? Ma'arvin yayin lechatchila. Then you can even mix the wine together lechatchila. In other words, you can mix all the wine together lechatchila and offer it up. Heicha delo hoktar. But ultimately, again, if the flour and oil component of the mincha has not yet been offered up, then what? Im nis arif salton ushmanon ma'arvin nami yayin. If the flour and the oil components get mixed together, then you can mix the wine together as well. Ve'im lav ein ma'arvin. But if not, you cannot mix the wine. To which the Gemara says, why not? Dilma asi le'eru ve'solos v'shem lechatchila. Because we're concerned that if we let you mix the wine together, then what? You may come to go ahead and lechatchila mix the flour and oil together as well. So we'll say, what comes out of here is as follows. Halacha l'maisa, the Gemara seems to say like this. If the flour and oil component of the mincha has already been offered up, then you can mix the various wines together. If the flour and oil have not been yet offered up, then you may not lechatchila mix the wine together. But if the flour and oil end up getting mixed together, then you can mix the wine together as well. Keves habayim ma'omer. So remember again, the Mishnah said that the keves that comes with the omer, even though again the flour of that mincha, the flour component of that mincha is doubled, two esronos. Nevertheless, the nesachim are not doubled. To which the Gemara says, "Tan Rabbanon, o mincha so shnei esronim." So remember again, the pasuk says that the mincha by the Karban Omer is two esronim. Also, remember again, now the interesting part is we know these basic halachos in Karban Mincha. A mincha is one isaron. So the mincha so Omer is different because it's two esronos. Limei dal keves habayim Omer. Shemincha so kvula teaches me that the keves, the sheep that accompanies the minchas omer, comes with a mincha that is doubled, two esronos. Yochol kashem sheminchas okful lekach yino kafol. I would have thought that the same way that the mincha itself is doubled, two esronos, so too the wine is doubled as well. Tamud lomar v'nisko yayin reviyas sahin. Therefore, also the pasuk says that the nesach of the wine is a reviyas for the hin. So, I mean, quarter of the hin. Yochol lo yehe yino kafol shenon nivlal im minchaso. I would have thought maybe the wine is not doubled. Why? Because the wine doesn't get mixed in with the actual mincha itself. But maybe the amount of oil should be doubled. Why? Because after all, again, it gets absorbed with the mincha. Tamud lomar v'nisko kol nesachav lo yu el revius. Therefore, it tells you that all of the libational aspects, both oil and wine, should not be doubled. Rather, should only be a revius, a quarter of a log. My Tamud, we'll say, so what, how are we learning this out from the pasuk here? Amar Belazar, ksiv v'niska, uvikarinan v'nisko. So we'll say, so the way the word is written in the Torah is nun samechav hei niska, yet we read it nisko. Ketzad, niska de mincha, kinisko de yayin. So we'll say, ultimately, again, the drush is, where does that mean? My yayin revius, just like ultimately again the wine is a quarter of a lug, af shemen nami revius. So to again the oil will also be a quarter of a lug. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, asha mitzora sheshachtu shloshma. So we'll say, just finishing off this sugya, Rabbi Yochanan says an asha mitzora, which was shechted shloshma. Now we'll say, now what's the case here? You look at Rashi ksav yad, the bottom section of Rashi, third to last line. Asha mitzora sheshachtu shloshma. kegon l'shem asham acher v'lo l'shem mitzora. So we'll say the case over here is the mitzora has to bring an asham, which is a type of sin offering. So let's say I'm the mitzora, I'm bringing the carbon, and the kohen shet, or I have in mind sholoshua for a different type of asham, still for an asham, same family, just wrong designation. What's the halacha? Ta'un nesachim. But we'll say it still requires its libational accompaniment. Look at Rashi, bottom Rashi still. Ta'un nesachim kedin asham mitzora diktani b'mas nisin. Ella shechatasa va'asham asham mitzora ta'un nesachim.
So we'll say, so the Asham still requires its Nesachim. Even though I shechted it Shalom Lishma, I still bring the Nesachim. Because we'll say, why? What's the Halacha?
The Halacha is, even though it's being offered up, this goes back to our first Mishnah, Masechas Zvachim. Even though it's offered up Shalom Lishma, nevertheless what? It's Kasher. It doesn't count to satisfy the obligation of the owners. Because if you do not say this, pasalto. As well as if you don't allow us to go ahead and bring the accompanying nesachim, then what? You end up invalidating the carbon. Look at Rashi. Pasalto. So we'll say, here's the problem I have. To go ahead and repurpose it for a different type of carbon, you can't do. If I can't repurpose it for a different type of carbon, then the only way it's going to be kosher is to be offered up as an asham, and to be offered up as an asham, it requires what? Nisachim. See, even though it's being offered up shalom l'shmo, nevertheless, you offer it up with its nisachim. Maskev la ramenashe bargade alami ata, keves habayim ha'omer, sheshachto shalom l'shmo, temin chaso kfula. So if that's the case again, says ramenashe bargade, let's just read a couple of more lines. So a keves, the keves that comes with the omer, if you shecht that keves shalom l'shmo, you're telling me now that you still bring the doubled mincha to Esronos, shem iya to omer came, because if you don't do that, pasalto, you have gone ahead and invalidated the carbon. Similarly, the tamid shal shachar sheshachtu shalom l'shmo, the tamid shal shachar that sheshachtu shalom l'shmo, yeton shnei gizirin b'koin echad, also requires the placement of two blocks of wood by one coin. I'll say that's part of the Tamid Shal Shachar, part of the offering there, is that one coin has to place two new pieces of wood on the altar prior to the offering of the Tamid Shal Shachar. Shimata Omer Kain, Shim Iyat Omer Kain, because if you don't say this, Pasalto, you will invalidate the carbon. Similarly again, when it comes to the Tamid Shal Bein Arbaim, if you shechted it Shalom L'Shmo, you still require two Kohanim to each place one piece of new wood on the altar. Shem iya to omer kin pasalto, because if you don't do this, you pass. As well said, what the Gemara is saying over here is as follows. What do you begin to see? You begin to see that there are certain karbanos that halacha lemaisa, even if you're offering up Shalom L'Shmo, you still have to perform the procedures associated with the lishma carbon, because failure to do so will invalidate the carbon and preclude it from being offered. The fact that we offer it tells us that Allah Kalamaisi, you have to do the accompanying processes as well. To which the Gemara says, Einachinami. It is true, right? It is true. Ultimately, again, all of these statements are correct. Ella Amar Abaye Chadaminayu Nakat. Excuse me, Ella. Brother, we'll say, ultimately, again, Abaye just mentioned one of the cases and not all of the cases. So we'll stop over here for today. We're not finished with the sugya, but again, what the Gemara is not introducing to me is that even when a carbon is offered up Shalom L'Shmo, by definition, there may be certain carbonic processes associated with the normative offering of that carbon L'Shmo that still have to be done in order to allow the carbon ultimately to be offered. All right.